everyone, and welcome to Turned on a Punk Footnote Super Show. I am Damian Abraham, and with me is Chris O'Toole, your host with the most, as well as David Up and Dave Martin, the Daves, the New Jersey by way of Texas, and Pittsburgh by way of Brooklyn contingent.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back. This has been a long time. We haven't done one of these shows. So how's everyone been?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain.
Good?
Yeah. I could complain, but won't. I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, same.
I feel like I've hung out with all of you guys recently, you know? Like,
You've seen the Daves before me.
That's true. I haven't seen you, Chris, in a minute, and we actually live pretty close together, and we've been passing like ships in the night lately, but we have not hung out. But I have hung out with Dave and Dave in at shows, no less. We were hanging out at punk rock shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like real DIY kind of shows.
You guys haven't had any more water park meetups or anything?
No, we have not met up in any water park parking lots late at night. But coming up, Chris, in November, hope you're free, because we got a family. Something came up on Groupon, so we will be coming out there.
Shout out. Sponsor the show. Shout out.
It wasn't actually Groupon. I don't think they're on Groupon. It was like some like deep, deep dark web discount coupon site that Lauren signed up to that's like the secret, the only reason we're able to go to this water park hotel.
You need to start doing like autograph signing sessions there.
I think that would go over probably as well as the average fucked up autograph signing goes over at a festival, which is not very well.
But I think if you guys are podcasting there, you could probably write off the whole thing as a business expense.
That'd be actually, they did give us a room one time to podcast from.
That legit is true. Yeah. That was extremely hospitable of them. So I'm not going to throw any shade, which is why we haven't named it.
No, but we will not throw say anything bad about them, because it's definitely not. It's not cool. I can't pretend it's cool. It's a lot of fun.
The only hint I'll give is that there is one in the neck of the woods, sort of, as I learned recently, of David Up.
Oh, I think there's a lot of them. They're like.
I don't know. There's definitely one somewhere in his neck of the woods. I don't know how many, but
I remember describing it to my manager and friend Brian Schwartz, and he's like, "That sounds like my fucking hell." like there's moments where I'm like, "Oh my god!" I have not had, like, it feels like you're on a cruise ship, kind of. Food's better than a cruise ship, but you know, it feels like the same sort of like, "Oh wow, I am trapped inside."
Have you gone on cruises?
Fuck the Play to Cruise.
Does that count though? Is it like a multi-day cruise?
Yeah, it was like a cruise. Like, it was like they called the Bruise Cruise, where they basically took over half of a cruise ship.
Wait, only half of it? So like the other half?
Like it's wild. Like, I would say less than half. I'd be like a quarter of the cruise ship was us, and the rest of it was just like normals. So it's like.
So there's right now there's a podcast happening with people who are like, and then we were on that cruise and there was like, I don't know, like weird smelly people.
Yeah.
Like,
I look over and there's the guy from the Dead Kennedys doing a lecture about how all the staff on the cruise ship are underpaid to a room of people that didn't look like they belonged on the ship.
Was it Klaus Fluoride?
It was a very surreal experience the whole way through. And we actually didn't get to play on the boat. We played in the Bahamas at a establishment called Senor Froggies that is apparently a chain that is.
Yeah, there was some here in the city that have since closed.
Oh man, is that a spot?
Probably. After you guys played, they figured it wasn't going to get any better.
Yeah, shut it down. Yeah.
Well, I realized that what they do is they interrupt your set so they can do shots with the people in the crowd. They interrupt you. So, but luckily, I got hip to this, and so I incorporated that into the set. But it was amazing to watch, like, every other band get their set busted up and interrupted as these people come across the stage to pour shots into people's mouths as they wait for the next song to start.
I mean, why would you need to interrupt the set?
That's what I did. That's why I just incorporated into the set. But, you know, there were some bands that didn't know how to roll with the punches as well. I chipped my tooth that night, Dave. I was on another planet with what I was drinking.
I have a follow-up question about this. So did anyone actually play on the cruise ship, or it's just that the cruise ship took you to the venue?
No, I saw a unbelievable set by King Khan and the Shrines that was just...
nice.
Which was just insane. And then the Dirt Bombs played, and it was incredible.
Wow, that's a strange lineup.
Yeah, it was the Dirt Bombs, Soft Moon, Us.
It was the Vivian Girls, right?
No, Vivian Girls did it, I think, the year before with the Black Lips.
Oh, okay. Oh, there was more than 1 year?
Yeah, I really think there were 3 years. I think Mac DeMarco did one, too.
I am astounded by this.
It was so much fun. It was really, you know, a wild time. Karen O from the Yeah Yeahs was there just hanging out. Like, she wasn't performing or anything. She just wanted to come on this wild
She's just cruising.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm a huge Froggy fan. I always go here for all my trips to go to the bar.
Well, in my mind, she was just, she was like, I'm booking myself a cruise. And then she ended up. And she's like, oh, no, it's the Bruise Cruise. And
then she had to hang out.
So, like, to save face, she had to, like, hang out. Like, yeah, I'm down. I'm here for the shows.
If she did, my gosh, that's brave soul, because I would have – it was, like, not something, you know – actually, that's not true. It was an amazing time. I would love to do it again. Tom Sharpling was there. I had a blast. I got wasted. I got wasted.
Well, it sounds like Turned Out a Punk Live on the Bruise Cruise is a thing that's going to happen.
Yeah,
I look if forward it would. We just got a festival offer in Germany. So pack your bags, guys.
Fine, we.
Well, we're all going to go. If I'm going to Germany, I'm not going solo.
What part of Germany?
Hamburg.
Okay.
Not bad.
So we'll start there. And we'll just
That's a real place. It seems like it's a legitimate offer.
Yeah, it's a legit offer. Don't worry. We'll start there. We'll go out and we'll tour out from there. You know.
Isn't that where Crypt is now located?
Crypt Records?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Germany.
So yeah, get in touch. Book us. Book us on a cruise. You know, book us on a podcast cruise with other podcasts.
That does not sound like fun.
No, it does not at all. You know, unless it was wrestling podcast, then I'd love it.
Yeah, but that'd be, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're ready to join the foreign language wrestling podcast market.
Yet. But anyway, I just got back from a trip out to New Zealand and Australia. Bought myself a lot of records. I don't know about yourselves, but I thought it'd be fun if we could all get on and kind of like just do a breakdown of new stuff we've been into, stuff we've been up to, and stuff we've heard on the podcast in recent episodes that we were thought would be interesting to discuss.
Sounds good.
All right.
So
I didn't actually ask what we were going to do on this episode, so I just figured I'd see what happens.
I don't think anyone's prepped for this at all. I think it's better that way, right? Because if we were prepped for it, we'd have like all sorts of expectations. I thought we could also do all the part twos that have come up, because we did not tackle a single part two, Chris and I. But there's been quite a lot of part twos recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Since we did the Super Show, we kind of were on a run of them. We had George Pettit come back, Chris Hanna come back for a part two, John Worster come back for a part two, Darby Allin, so we get to talk about everyone's beloved wrestling, come back for a part two, and John Joseph make his part three return to the show.
How is Darby Allin a part two? I don't remember it being part one.
He's part one. He's on the Punk Wrestling Connection.
The big episode. Wrestling Connection one.
Yeah. Which is like, if you like this week on the show, Anthony from Ceremony's on, right? This episode. And the first Anthony from Ceremony episode is on that punk wrestling one. He tells some incredible stories on that first wrestling episode.
Yeah, but I don't know. But yeah, but I feel like this one seemed more like an actual part one.
Yeah, that's what,
The titular question, the whole thing, you know.
That was my point, Dave. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
You reiterated perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a true part one, like compared to the first one. The time that he was on before, it's only wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think, you know, the wrestling stuff, I can almost make it a separate thing. You know, it doesn't need to be on the Turned Out of Punk thing. I realize now, you know, as I'm moving further away from, you know, the wrestling is my life, part of my life, and into wrestling just being an obsession again, I don't need to force it down people's throat as much. There's like a lot of episodes of Turned Out of Punk where the person is clearly not into wrestling, but I almost make it my mission to make them a fan of wrestling.
No, never.
But have you gotten a lot of people that come back to it, like where they're just like, you know, you kind of got me thinking about wrestling, and now I'm under wrestling.
Oh yeah, my biggest success story in that regard is there's been actually a couple. You know, there's been a couple people that have come back to me and been like, I'm back in. You know, you got me back in love with wrestling, and now I'm like committed to it again. You know, so it has worked. You know, it's just, I just need to get the right sort of susceptible person to it at the right time, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to
do. I guess, yeah, just like a grooming type situation where they're at that point where they're low enough, and then now they'll just get, they're susceptible.
That's a super cool way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it'd be like, it's like basically the lyrics to Liar. But like about wrestling.
Yeah, you'll suck their mind out, you'll eat their soul or whatever.
And then you meet me. Yeah. And everything I tell you about wrestling is everything you ever wanted to hear about wrestling.
Yeah.
And you let me in. That song's like that's gotta be the hardest lyrics for a popular song ever. Like a mainstream popular song. Maybe Cop Girl.
But that wasn't like a pop. Well, I mean, Liar was a big, I mean, it's one of those like infamous first famous kind of debates.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I guess, okay. Like we're talking like songs that were nominated for a Grammy. That's probably harder than any Metallica lyrics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. Off to Never Neverland. I don't know. Pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean, Fuel and Fire, What You Desire and whatnot. No, I mean, there's some, the thing that sucks is that's a whole other door to open to like, because, I mean, if you really want to get down to it, like, this is just going to take off. Like, this could be anyone talking right now. But, like, there's some, like, Everclear lyrics that were, like, kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a song that I've heard. Like, full disclosure, my knowledge of this Everclear song is from working at a retail job. And they just played the radio. And they just, so you just hear the same songs over and over again. So I heard Father of Mine, like, twice a shift while I worked that job. I'm like, yeah, these lyrics are really depressing and dark. Like, they're like Suicidal Tendencies third album type lyrics, but it's like a song they're playing on WDHA.
Do you remember that song Heroin Girl?
No.
Oh my God. That song's hard. That's like, honestly, it sounds like a suicidal, like if Suicidal Tendencies was like a 90s post Nirvana cash and grunge band, it would sound like this.
Wait, it's Heroin Girl, an Everclear song?
Yeah, it's off the first record, but it's like kind of hard, and it's like kind of got like a spoken word kind of intro to it.
That dude came up in a conversation recently, and I heard he was not nice.
Did I tell you the story? I heard a story one time that he like fired his. I heard this from a member of the band crew. Allegedly, they were fired by hearing about them being fired on the radio.
That's something you could really like attain to, you know, hope to come to with Fucked Up at some point.
Yo, that would be, well, we don't have any crew. I probably want, they're probably going to fire me on the radio. They're like, they're gonna go on like, they're gonna go on like live audio wrest, or sorry, post wrestling, and be like, Damian, we know you're gonna hear this here. We want you to know you're out of the fucked up.
I mean, but if they cut a promo of it, you know, then you couldn't be mad about
that. No, I wouldn't be mad at all.
Yeah.
If they went to the effort to get on my favorite wrestling podcast and tell me I was fired from the band, I couldn't be mad at them.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right.
I thought you were just saying in general. That's what made me laugh. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah. but they did that. Oh, by the way, I've now been listening to Everclear Heroin Girl in the background, and mm-hmm. It opens with a super sick palm mute part where it's just like... palm muting and then goes into like weird harmonics, and he's wearing a CD character shirt, the sketchiest record label imaginable.
More than Regurgitated Semen?
Well, Regurgitated Semen, from all looks of it, seems to be a straight up label.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that's sketchy, I guess, maybe CD characters is kind of like, and I don't know, allegedly, once again, I know they kind of made it impossible for Subhumans to reissue their record. Allegedly.
Canadian Subhumans, I assume we're speaking of?
Oh, this song's sick.
I just want to publicly acknowledge that I do not accept that assessment of any Everclear song.
So what do you want to go with, Chris?
Oh, yeah. I'm down with the discussion, but I'm not down with saying it's sick.
No, I mean, that's why I was really trying to like put a caveat that I'm not like I'm not putting on Everclear on purpose. I'm just saying. Oh, no,
I just love that Damien's deep diving Everclear in the background.
Yeah,
He also has some sort of like punk connection too. The Art Alexia, is that his name?
See, that sounds right. I mean, I don't
have his dyed blonde hair. That's all.
Dude,
I know.
Dude, their first record came out on Tim Kerr Records.
Yeah, I remember we did touch on this before, I believe.
Even Sparkle and Fade has a Tim Kerr credit on it.
So this is now like an Everclear podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I guess Tristan's got his work cut out for him now.
I heard that Tim Kerr had no...
Nothing to do with the label?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, Tim... no, he'll repeatedly tell you
that
he has nothing to do with the label.
Yeah, it's a different Tim Kerr.
Yeah, it's not Big Boy.
It's some guy named Thor. I don't believe his name is Tim Kerr at all.
No, there's Thor Lindsay, and then there's apparently another guy also named Tim Kerr who has a credit on the William Burroughs, Gus Van Sant, the Elvis of Letters record.
Isn't the label based out of the Pacific Northwest?
It is at Portland. Portland-based, yes. Yeah.
But it had two addresses. There's... But one's just a P.O. box.
It came up because we were talking about it at one previous one, because is it Pajama Party came out on that record, on that label?
Yeah,
like,
I believe
it?
So.
Yeah.
It came up in the past, and I remember because we, at least I misunderstood what you guys are sort of getting at now. I always assumed it had to do with the Big Boys, but it doesn't.
They put out some big name artists. Like, they did a John Fahey record. They did the William Burroughs Kurt Cobain split CD, or that collaboration CD. Dandy Warhols.
The priest they called him, you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had that as a kid. No, my friend had it as a kid. That's what I remember hearing as a kid.
Wait, do you have the Poison Idea and Ray and Glover split cassette on Tim Kerr?
No, but I do have the picture disc and the non-picture disc version.
Of course.
But no, I do not have the tape. I was looking at that earlier. Also, I would like this Wipers... there's a Wipers test press for something that never came out.
Oh, okay. Didn't they do that Wipers covers box?
They did.
Yeah, that's painful.
That box is amazing. That box is like, that's a pull the curtain back moment on Nirvana. Like, Nirvana covering the Wipers, you're like, oh shit, they just lifted this band's sound.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't think that?
I don't think that. To me, they don't sound anything like the Wipers.
What?
But I had Wipers records before I had Nirvana records, so.
Yeah, I'm not saying the Wipers are like influenced by Nirvana. I'm saying Nirvana is very influenced by the Wipers.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they sounded like them that much.
When they do Return of the Rat?
That's just a cover.
But when you hear it, you're like, oh, that kind of like soft, quiet, or Dimension 7, That song, you really hear it for me.
Okay. Yeah.
And I remember, and I think it's even on the episode with the Melvins, Buzz says, he talks about bringing Kurt to see them and just how Kurt's mind was blown after that.
Well, I believe that.
There, just force you into submission with that. Just yeah. Beat you down with my answer. they also did the Peter Lofner box set, or the Peter Lofner, sorry, CD.
Well, yeah, it was a double LP and a CD, which I believe is still not like that 5 LP box came out, but there's not a ton of duplication between the two.
Wow, that's wild. There's that much stuff just waiting.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hardcore. I mean, it's not, you know, like the double LP is like a proper record in comparison to the box.
What does the box mean? Is it just like live stuff or demos?
It's like all sorts of live on the radio, some live, live at clubs, and then home recorded stuff. It's pretty extensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you kind of know if you're the person who needs it. Like if you, you know, it would be hard to think of like, besides somebody who's like never heard of Peter Lofner before, like I would think everyone who's heard him at all, like either knows if they need this thing or not.
Like a Murs box type situation.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. So my new podcast, I'm going to.
Yeah. Go through the Peter Lofner box set.
Yeah. It's only 5 episodes. The ghost of Peter Lofner was very upset and does not want me to continue.
I want to do, I've been trying to get, I want Dave Martin and I to do a spinoff podcast called As the Nun Flies, and it'll be a Flying Nun podcast.
Do it.
And every episode is just looking at a different Flying Nun record.
Do you want to just do songs?
I think podcast a whole record. Song. You know? This honestly, guys, this book, the Shane Carter book, has changed my fucking life, this book. It's incredible, this thing.
What is spoiler it called? Alert,
it's got wrestling in it.
It has wrestling in it.
What is it called?
Dead People I Have Known.
Dead People I Have Known.
Okay. Yeah. And let me like, and here's the thing, I think it's like, you know, it's just, there's just so much, like the New Zealand stuff is just so much bigger than just Flying Nun, obviously. But there's just so much stuff that came out of there, but there's just so much musical history and tragedy and triumph and like all this stuff that I just had no idea about. And this book is really kind of opening my eyes to a lot of that stuff for the first time. And it's a fantastic book. I strongly recommend picking it up. And shout out to my friend Sam at Double J who gave me his copy, and I've read it, you know, voraciously ever since.
Nice.
Yeah.
You had mentioned to me briefly once, so I've, and then I think publicly you even put something up about it, I think.
Well, because when I saw the wrestling thing, I had to. When he talks about fucking wrestling, like, oh my God, wrestling influenced the straitjacket fits and the double happies? Like, that is, that's like another smoking gun in my arsenal of arguments about the punk, the punk wrestling connection, Chris. And you've seen sure. You've seen me have to bust out these arrows from the arsenal before, you know?
I have.
I've had to slay some punk rock giants with them.
if that is your takeaway from that exchange, sure, yeah.
That's what I saw. That's what you saw too, right?
If part one, but unofficial part two happens and it's just the debate of skateboarding versus wrestling with that individual, that'll be very amusing to me.
Well, it could it's probably more likely than him coming on Turn Into Punk, I think. So, but we will leave it at that for now. Is there something else that anyone wanted to get to?
We didn't start yet, right? I don't remember how this all started.
I don't think we've started yet. Have we started
yet? We've got to get, what other Everclear points do we want to get out?
How we got that.
That song, I stand by that song, Heroin Girl. Oh, we didn't actually get to the, we got sucked into the Tim Kerr thing.
That somehow got through. Yeah, I don't remember.
God, and I'm the only one on weed right now. Like, I don't know why you guys keep getting lost in this stuff.
I had a mate at 8 p.m. because I'm like, well, I guess I better stay awake. Here we are.
Here we are. Okay. Okay.
Got to keep our A game up so I can just pull out referencing Everclear from a job I had in 2000.
Dude, look where it brought us. Oh, and he was in a band called the Easy Hoes, who, get this, were on Shindig Records, which he ran.
The Everclear person?
Yeah.
And clearly, Tristan, if you're listening, get on the phone.
Yeah.
Part one needs to happen, clearly.
Well, he put out a comp that has literally no bands I've ever heard of.
I want to look up, I'm just going to Google right now, Everclear Wrestling, and then we're going to solidify this right now. No one has used their theme song? Someone must have used an Everclear song.
Well, like, what would you come out to Everclear? What song?
I don't know.
Man, really, this whole match is going to be wonderful.
Yeah, like, I feel like you need it, you know. Mind you, there's wrestlers that come out to Teenage Dirtbag, and there's wrestlers that come out to the Final Countdown. Like, you can make your music, but, you know, maybe I'm going to come out to Heroin Girl. That'll be my intro music. I used to know a girl.
I've heard a lot of podcasts that dip their toe into wrestling, ask what you know what you'd walk out to. But yeah, I've yet to hear anyone reference Everclear.
Yeah, like, I used to know a girl. She had two pierced nipples and a black tattoo. We loved that Mexican beer. We lived on Mexican food. And then I'd come out, I wish I could go back. And that's when I come through the curtain. Back in time. Okay. I got this in my, this is another idea.
All right.
It's all planned out now.
Well, to put a slight damper on our fun we're having, there is some news that broke fairly recently where he has come upon some very, very bad health news, the gentleman we're discussing. So
I'm on the same article, Chris.
And I was just like,
Well,
so it's unfortunate either way.
I'm sorry to hear that. That is definitely unfortunate to hear.
Wait, I have to feel bad about the guy from Everclear now?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a bummer.
Well, let's awkwardly transition to something else.
Chris, what have you been listening to lately?
Funny you should ask. I was trying to sort of get into queuing up this new Kanye West, which is not at all punk, but and I got sidetracked, so I haven't done it yet, but very curious to hear that, which I'm sure none of you are very interested in.
I think I want to hear more about that Chick-fil-A line.
I haven't heard anything about it. I just know the title of the record, so I'm like, obviously I'm intrigued.
He's got there's a line about Chick-fil-A being closed on some Sundays and how number two is his combo with a lemonade.
Well, I'm even more intrigued now.
Yeah, I feel like I got like a push notification about that for some reason. Like, oh, Kanye West reference. Why would I? Yeah, this is not a buzz that I need to get in my pocket.
I heard someone today was like, someone, I don't know, it was maybe yourself, Chris. Someone said that Kanye West is the Morrissey of hip hop.
I didn't say that, but that's very good, and I love them both, so that makes perfect sense to me, but yeah.
Definitely, you know, someone who at this point is just pushing buttons, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely, I would say, though, Kanye is a little, is still sort of in the, more of the prime of his career. This would be that's his, true. Like, your arsenal rather than his low in high school, if you will.
You think he's at the prime of his career?
Like not prime, but he's definitely not like where Morrissey is as opposed to where Kanye is. He's, I mean, age aside, the obvious age aside, you know, 20-year difference. But like, yeah, career-wise, I think Kanye's midpoint. I think Morrissey's in his twilight years.
Well, yeah, but he's also been active longer. Like, yeah, I don't feel like doing the math to figure out where Kanye from jump is versus where Morrissey was at this year in his career.
I bet Kanye was around, though, as a producer for a good 5 or 6 years before he blew up as a rapper.
Yeah, right? I mean, so, it's it's the yeah, exactly. But it's just, this is a funny debate anyway. But yeah, it's just I feel like this is like the Your Arsenal years of Kanye right now, like kind of just coming out of that. Maybe this is actually, this is the Vauxhall and I of Kanye right now. So this is like late 90s era Morrissey.
But Kanye's been saying ridiculous shit longer than Morrissey has.
Oh, yeah, Morrissey was saying pretty ridiculous shit back in the day.
No, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm with Damien on this.
Yeah, All right.
I think Dave Martin even back us up on this one.
I'm not getting into this. I was like, no.
won't even approach it, you know?
Either way, yeah. Yes, he's been saying inflammatory stuff for many years. Not quite as inflammatory as recently, but yeah, it's always sort of been there.
It's just, there's just so many artists that, you know, when you decide to ride with them, you decide to like them, you're going to be like, well, I'm just going to have to look past a ton of shit. Like, you know, if you're like a Gigi Allen collector, you're like, you're not acknowledging.
You're going to have to look past literal shit.
Literal shit. And some stuff that's worse than him literally shitting on stage, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you're just like, well, I'm going to be looking past this because there's something about Bite It, You Scum that I have to listen to no matter what.
A person at my work, was somewhere and they're like, oh yeah. And I was at this store and they had multiple records by that guy with the initials. And I'm like, I need more information than that. but it was like rock. I'm like, yeah, I need more. It was a punk guy. I'm like, Gigi Allen? She's like, yeah. I was like, and then the my other coworkers are like, how did you know what she was talking about? I'm like, I don't know. I just got there. I got there real fast for someone referenced Gigi Allen very, very loosely.
What records were they? Like old ones?
They were LPs. I don't know.
Asking for a friend, myself.
I definitely wasn't.
Did she buy them?
No, she was just impressed that they had
them. So you're saying they're still there?
Yeah, but it's in Marfa, Texas.
So you're saying, like, go to Marfa, Texas tomorrow.
For the listener at home, I know that they were the property of the husband of the store owner. That just happened. That's like what the records they had at work to listen to, not for sale.
What kind of job is this? They were listening to Gigi Allen at work.
Vintage clothing store.
Okay.
That's wild. Like, could you imagine putting that record on just in your store, like a random retail establishment?
No. No, it's not really high on my list, but you know.
Have I ever told you guys?
I don't own a store.
Did I ever tell you guys about the weirdest shit I've ever done where, maybe I should qualify that. One of the weirdest things I've ever done was we're filming one of the first Vice Weed documentaries and we go over to this grow and we're hanging out in this grow in, you know, just like a weed grow with like normal people, well, like weed people, but normal people. And, we're just watching YouTube videos, you know, and it's like a mixed room of people, you know? And we're just watching random YouTube videos. And all of a sudden I'm like, have you guys seen Hated? And they're like, no, what's that? I'm like, oh, it's a movie about this guy named Gigi Allen. And they're like, who's Gigi Allen? And I'm like, oh, he's just like kind of the most extreme performer of all time. And they're like, oh, put it on. And I put it on. And it's just like, I'm looking around the room about halfway through, like, oh my God. Like if you're not prepared for this, it'll fuck you up.
Yeah, it's definitely like a divisive film to put on at a party.
People left.
Yeah, I can see that.
People did not want to hang.
Seems about right, yeah.
Oh, do you like that movie Old School?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Well, you know what? We're going to make a shirt for Turned Out a Punk Footnotes. Chris and I decided that it's going to just say, from the director of Hated in the Joker font.
Yeah.
I back that idea. I do think we should digress really quick because we got off a punk thing. I feel like there are new punk things to discuss that aren't Gigi Allen related. I feel like there's new records. Dave Martin or David Up, have you stumbled across new punk rock related things sonically?
Sure. Do you want me to try to go to your own backyard?
Our own backyard? In Canada? Sure.
Aren't MilSpec from Canada?
Yes, correct.
They have a new thing on Spotify as a teaser for their next record. I listened to that a few days ago, I want to say. Pretty recently.
Good call. I'm bad at remembering things. Yeah, that's going to be, I think, coming out and locking out as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I might like Changes more, but I still thought this song was cool, and I'm interested to hear the new record.
Yeah, good band. I like MilSpec. Pals, oh mine.
Yeah, very, right? So I figured
work very you big in. Fan. No, good call. I actually got the... They gave me a leak of the LP, but I haven't... I hadn't had time to get it yet, so I'm going to get on that. That's my reminder.
At least one of us is interested in it, you know. I'm trying.
Australia right now.
I've heard that single. I haven't heard the LP.
When I was in Australia, there's literally like tons of new bands. Like, we've been there a few times over the years. And, you know, there's always like new bands happening and new scenes, but it feels like there's been like a new kind of explosion of bands. And it's all kind of like getting really popular, and it's all sort of punk indebted, punk derived or punk, you know, in some form kind of music, but it's like beach punky and surf punky. But there's this band, the Wax, this band Skeggs, this band, the Chats, I think.
The Chats, yeah, they have that song that they have a hit.
They have a hit. Yeah, they have a fucking huge hit. And there's like a whole scene of bands that are kind of like this. And it's all over. Like, it doesn't seem to be very set to one city. At least there's like a smattering of these types of bands all over the place. And it really feels like they all know each other, you know? Like, we're meeting all these bands in all different places, and they're like, "Oh, I know them." And yeah, like, it's cool. Like, it was exciting, cuz I haven't, you know, seen something like that happen in a while.
Cool.
Like, where it crosses over to kind of a mainstream success, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, so are they, like, what, when you say, like, what is that, like, that song that you said is big from the Chats or whatever, what style, like, what are they like? Like,
and the Chats are like the children of the Cosmic Psychos.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's the thing also, like, that was wild about
us. Not literally. I mean, they could be, but I don't think they are.
I get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think they're from, like, a real, and this is what the term people use to describe it to me, Bogan Town. Like, they're, like, real, like, it's not, like, a shtick. Like, those are those dudes, and that's actually what they're like, apparently.
Gotcha.
But it's funny, because we're talking about this. I was talking about it with the people at Vicious Sloth, also. That is one of the best record stores in the fucking world, and they've got a lot of my money. Again, you know, like, I'm voting with my dollars every time. But I was talking to them about it, and it must be because of like AC/DC, or like, I was trying to think, like, what is the thing that runs through Australian like rock music that makes it all kind of killer, you know, like even like Midnight Oil. You know, for like a mainstream band, it's kind of killer. You know, In Excess have some killer.
I don't know
songs.
If I've heard a second Midnight Oil song.
Really?
Yeah, I think I just know the one.
They've got some songs. They got some hits, and they were around for like a long time. And also, like, Australia's weird. There's just like so many like sub scenes and little pop up scenes. Like there's this whole, like, you know, it's obviously the Sharpie rock stuff, which is all like disco kind of dressing, tough skinhead people that love glam music. But then there's also this other scene of bands that are like more kind of hippie bands that they called head bands because they all smoked weed and stuff. There's just like so many cool little scenes, and I don't know. I love going there. I learned so much about music every time.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been over there. I'd love to go. It's extremely far.
It's far. It is fucking far. Yeah, I flew back, and it was like 29 hours.
Wow. Speaking of that country, isn't that that band Power from Australia, or are they from New Zealand?
They're from Australia.
Australia.
Because they don't they have something new as well? I haven't heard.
There's a new 7-inch. I want to say it's on Feel It. I don't know if
correct. I've got it right here. 1 second.
Feel It's done some cool stuff though. Is that actually based out of there or no? Or is that like a label?
No. They're like from somewhere in the United States of America.
Oh, okay, they're just putting out stuff. Yeah.
Surprisingly, it seems like there's more than one.
I got a lot of records.
Yeah.
I got a lot of records there, but it's the brand new 7-inch on
Cool Death.
Yeah, Cool Death.
Or no, yeah, because that whatever 12-inch or LP, whatever you would want to consider that first one is great. So I'm curious to hear that one.
Yeah, the new single's amazing. I got like there's so many cool, like, I don't know, like, also, and then going to New Zealand, also finding, like, a whole other group of, like, incredible bands there.
The single I was thinking of is The Fool.
Yeah, The Fool.
And it is on Feel It, yes.
Oh, it's also on Cool Death.
So it's probably domestically, it's on Cool Death and Feel It over here. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. I got to hear it, yeah.
You should come over, Chris. Listen to records.
One day, yes, I will. Actually, to sidebar very quickly from Australia here, the new Ancient Shapes is out, and that's very good, which is our mutual pal Damien and I, Mr. Danny Romano. And it's called The Flower That Wouldn't Bloom. It's great. Just came out on You've Changed, and it's very, like, you know, I don't know, punk-inspired power pop, if you will, dare I say.
Also, the Ceremony's got a new record out that's fantastic. Homies Chastity have a new record out that's really good. What's Simon Doom's new band? I heard a song yesterday that was killer. They got a new video out for it too.
Spiral Heads?
Yeah, Spiral Heads.
Yeah, it's a good song. Have they released any other songs besides just the one?
I think there was something a while ago, but I think it's that one song though.
Yeah. I've heard the one song. It's a good song.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of it. Big fan of the band. So, but there's like, yeah, it feels like, I don't know, maybe it's just cause I wasn't paying a lot of attention the last few years and maybe I missed out on like a shit ton of incredible things, but it feels like there's just like a ton of good stuff coming out now.
I went to see that band Regional Justice Center, mm-hmm. like last week, as far as, another like band that like did a record in 2019 that's like, you know, it's power violence, but you know, it's done well, and I think they were good live when I watched them.
No, I love that band Cell Rot. That band Army that played the other day,
mm-hmm.
Was real cool. There's a new Ceremony. We talked about the Ceremony record. I don't think what else I picked up recently. The new stuff. There's like a bunch.
That band Scourge that also played that Army show are playing tomorrow with the Inmates. So I'll be at that.
Inmates.
Nice. Yeah.
That's cool. They made it down there. Inmates rule.
Inmates. I bet you they played Austin probably second most after Cleveland.
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that they played. I don't know if they've played here in the last 10 years.
But Timmy would bring them down. They must have played there at least three times for various Timmy Fests.
Mm-hmm. I think I only saw them once, and it was before I lived here.
I saw them. Not down.
I saw him
there.
In Brooklyn.
I saw him in Virginia at one of the No Way Out Fests.
Mm-hmm.
We played.
Oh, I think I saw him there as well.
That was a wild show. It was very like. It's funny because like I just actually got Paul's new record that I was going to be listening to in a second, like his kind of like psyche band that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, so I'm stoked to listen to it. I like the Wolf Downers. That was a sick record too.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
Yeah, what is that?
Wolf Downers was Paul from the Inmates, and it was on Painkiller, or it was on Parts Unknown, I think.
I don't know that one.
You don't remember that?
No.
Mm-mm.
It was. It's been a while since I listened to it. It's got terrible looking art.
That like, sounds right.
Like really, I don't know. I thought all those old records looked really sick, but you know, Yeah, Wolf It Down is the name of the record.
As far as in the world of Dave Martin, I enjoyed the new Dive record.
Oh, there you go.
As far as things that are new.
Dive's on tour with Chastity right now, too, I think.
Right, yeah. I just saw them last night.
I haven't... Dave, have you begun... So sidebar, I was just going to say I haven't started this, but Dave, have you started... Mr. Martin, for listeners who aren't aware, also is very, very keen on the end-of-year lists. Have you begun your task on that yet or no?
Only in my head, not actually quite on paper, but I have started to think about it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, same, but we have a couple months, so I wanted to wait to let stuff kind of slide in before the deadline.
Yeah.
You're like Fucked Up Tragically Hip cover, number one.
Yep. Did that happen in 2019?
Only in Australia.
So that's your Australian 7-inch?
Yeah, we do the Australian single for... I got ones for you guys.
Nice.
But there's... that's the only thing I've done in a long time. You know? I feel like starting a new band, though. That's my new goal of next year.
Yeah?
Start a new thing. Start something fun and new and exciting and fun. Did I mention it's going to be fun?
Yeah.
That's how we know you're serious.
That's how you know I'm serious, you know?
So I guess we should also say, like, Jonah must have some new record out in some capacity. I'm trying to think if there's any Jonah
stuff. You know,
Game.
Yeah, there is a new Game 7-inch, that's right.
And Jonah plays on that new Thurston Moore record.
Yes, he does.
That's right. It's the
and I think that record is great. It is a 3-CD box set. It's called Spirit Council. And the two of the CDs, it's just, they're like hour long tracks, and then the other CD is like a half an hour long track. Crazy large guitar ensemble, sort of, you know, in the spirit of Glenn Branca. At least for the Jonah track. And it's great. I was super into it. I've listened to it a ton. So
Jonah's got amazing stories from that recording session or that performance. Guitar ensemble. Like, it seems like it was quite the crew of guitarists. Like, everyone from like punk legends to children of music legends to like a real mixed bag.
Yeah. Wow.
And just looking at this, I can't imagine recording a 55-minute song. It just seems like it'd be awful.
I don't think you'd have to do it in one, you know. Full disclosure, Fucked Up's next year of thing is an hour. Year of the Horse is a 1 hour song.
Wow.
So
yeah, I hope you're gonna have to punch in on that one, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely, you know, I'll probably sing on like, you know, 20 minutes of it or like 5 minutes of it. Yeah.
The question is this your decline though?
Well, I think you mean as a band? I think we've been in that decline for a number of years at this point.
No, I'm obviously speaking of the No Effects decline standard upon which you hold long songs to.
Oh, well, I think Year of the Pig was our decline. This is definitely our, like, so long, thanks for all the shoes, or Franco and American or something at this point. I'm listening to the NoFX audiobook right now because I'm going to be having an interview coming up with a member of NoFX, and it is, holy God, that's an insane audiobook if you've not heard it.
I have not heard it.
Whoosh.
I'm surprised people with that statement there.
It is. You should hear it, buddy. It is like, you know, it is not like, and it's not tawdry. It's not like Motley Crue the Dirt or something, right? Like, it's just like really gritty. Like, I don't know if you're going to hear a more honest kind of music book. Because it's not flattering. You know, most people, when they write a book, they try and make it a little flattering.
like, who wrote it? Is it collectively they're like...
They all do... Like, the audiobook is cool because they each read their section, but it seems like they trade off chapters.
And what is it called? What's the title of this thing?
Like, Hepatitis Bathtub, I think it's called.
Gotcha, okay. I'm just thinking for people that want to track it down. Obviously, I guess you could Google NoFX.
With a name like that, who doesn't want to track it down?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that'll be Hepatitis Bathtub 1 when I get the disc.
I just like how we got that quickly from the Thurston Moore Spirit Council.
I'm sure Thurston would be really happy with that as well.
To like three steps. That was my fault. Yeah. I made a decline joke.
It all goes back to NoFX, guys.
Yeah. There's another record that I'm that Gong 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 record. I've listened to that a lot lately.
I don't know what, elaborate on this. This one's...
Well, they're a duo based in Beijing. And one of the guys was in that band, the Offset Spectacles, it's hard to say if that was their whole name or if their name was the Offset and Spectacles was the name of their record.
Okay.
Came out about 5-6 years ago. But it's great. It's kind of, it's just a guitar and bass, you know, surfy, fuzzy guitars.
Nice.
All the singing is in one of those Chinese dialects. If I say one, I'm sure it'll be wrong. So maybe Mandarin.
I think it's Mandarin.
I don't know. Yeah, but not like it like it would matter to me.
You're more of a Cantonese kind of guy.
Exactly. That's what I was. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great record. Super, super good.
So Gong 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 is the artist.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's, what's the title of the record or whatever? It's just self-titled?
No, it's called Phantom Rhythm.
Phantom Rhythm. Cool.
Yeah.
Check that out. Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I when we were in China, I picked up like a bunch of CDs and it was like, I'm trying to remember, Car Sick Car?
Oh yeah, they're like a huge band in a way. Like they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, their stuff was fantastic. They were around when we were there, and that must have been that's well over 10 years ago now that we toured over there, and it was. But yeah, it was all CDs at that point. I picked up a 7-inch by one band, but it was also it felt like very much like different cities had completely different kind of like music scenes, taste wise, and Beijing kind of had the most sort of diverse scene. Like there was a band we played with that was like very much like, you know, street punky, and then we play with Speak Chinese or Die, which was like a Car Sick Car Psy project band. But it was a really fun tour.
Nice.
Who put out the record? Someone over there.
Wharfcat. Okay. Which are some New York City dudes.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I look forward to both of your guys' lists. They're both...
Okay, I'm working on it.
Bro, well, Chris also does a ridiculous one every year, too.
Yeah, but Dave's more immersed. Like, I thank you, I accept that compliment. I appreciate that. But Dave's is more... Dave has more boots on the ground. He's in the cultural hotbed.
So but you have more boots and shoes.
That's true.
No debate there at all, yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
Absolutely, correct.
But also, you also do like a very intense like knockout system and round where it's like your like jock side enters into your music side when it comes down to the year end lists.
Yeah, I'm more like, yeah, mine is more not just music. Yes,
but you also handle it like someone would be handling like fantasy baseball or football or something. Like there's like knockout rounds and like records and like lists get revised and things like that.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Yeah. And that is true. But I'm shouting out Dave Martin here because Dave Martin, I have a few people that I kind of turn to for like the deepest new jams, and Dave is one of the people I look toward.
Oh, definitely.
Focally to see what's really kind of popping for the real discerning folks like myself.
Now that I've just given up on being in touch with what's actually happening, I just kind of look at the year-end time as a great moment to catch up with what happened the last year that I missed.
But I mean, yeah, it's always good to have like a man in their 50s just be like, what are the kids into?
So here's a question, though. So I guess the song isn't even new. Maybe it was because it was like one of those Adult Swim songs, but there was that new Power Trip song that went up on they're like, it's
the Hornet's streaming service.
Yeah. And then it was gone. It was taken down from streaming services.
Is it still on Bandcamp?
It is, and I bought it today because I was I had listened to it a bunch, and I was like, I love this song. It's great. Can't wait for that new record. And then it was gone, and I was like, where'd it go? And it's just, you know. But then I saw it was on Bandcamp, so I bought it today. So, but what's up with that?
I think probably they have streaming rights, right? Like, that would make sense. Like, if they paid for it, I imagine they'd have some sort of streaming rights for it and probably were like...
Well, yeah, but I would just think that a band at their level, like, that sort of stuff...
Gets taken care of.
Yeah, it gets taken care of. Somebody's, like, worrying about that. And, like, you know, and obviously it was probably windowed. It was, like, an Adult Swim thing for a certain window of time and... And then it's like, okay, have at it. Here's the song. And
are like, those songs window though? Because like I don't.
Maybe not. Maybe they just felt that it was, and maybe we shouldn't have said it was still on Bandcamp. I don't know.
Yeah, like I'm sure it'll get figured out, you know. But I think I wonder, like, especially when you do a song for someone or with a company, it's just there's so many. You know, I guess that's why there's music lawyers to deal with that stuff.
Yeah. Well, do you know, I mean, are they still in a contract with Southern Lord? Will the next record be on Southern Lord, or are they?
I have to say, on Twitter, it seemed like Riley was, he made a vague reference that seemed like, no, they were not on Southern Lord anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they might be free and clear now to do what they want. But yeah, who knows? Like, it's such the weirdest side of the music industry is that the actual industry side of it.
Yeah.
I have a question collectively for all of you. 'Cause I think it, both being in bands and then even working on the label side of things, do you think in this present day and age right now, like specifically let's use Power Trip. So Power Trip scenario to me, looking from the outside in, is going, okay, they're large to a degree that that they could make a pretty major jump. Not that the Southern Lord one wasn't a big jump, but let's just say they could make clearly a bigger jump than that. So the option now is to do that or perhaps go it on their own maybe in this sort of new media landscape. Do you think that position to be in is trickier than being like a band starting out now and trying to crack anybody's attention? Or do you think where Power Trip is, that trick of like, which move do you think is more detrimental to a band or more important? Is a band an early stage or what this Power Trip move will be?
I mean, you can go first, Dave.
Well, I'm going to honestly, I'm looking at their, you know, like just when you look at Spotify and you see they give you like the five tracks and they tell you how many they've streamed.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they're all like super impressive numbers until you start breaking that down in terms of money.
Yeah.
So them just deciding to be their, you know, do their own, you know, put out their own records or whatever is not a crazy option because, you know, they probably are at the point where they can get, you know, like they can get records made and sell those records and every, you know, like all the stores that carry their records now are still going to find them and stock them and all that sort of stuff. And then if they can get a bigger share of that streaming money, you know, that would make a huge difference.
I think, I mean, just to me, it seems like it would be easier to be on a label because otherwise it'd be one thing if you're like a mid-tier band, you can kind of do your own thing. But I feel like you almost need to have like staffing to handle.
They would have to either if you know, like somebody in the band would have to really care about it, or they would have to create a job for somebody. You know, and then at some point, you know, you're like, well, like maybe that's, you know, the money that they would be paying somebody, maybe that's like a record label's cut anyway. So those are, you know, there's a ton of bands of their level that are trying to grapple with those issues right now.
Yeah, because that's...
And obviously the way it's presented is that bands don't need a label, but what that means is bands need a support staff, and they need to actually then become a corporation that pays people and all that sort of stuff, which is maybe also not what they want to do. And when they think about it, they're like, oh, yeah, that is what a record label does.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, never get it twisted, like, a major label that's behind a band, like, nothing is more powerful. Like, look at how big the Arcade Fire were when they were on Merge, but as soon as they leveled up to be just Sony proper, they had a fucking TV special on after Saturday Night Live, right? Like, these...
Yeah, but it didn't make a difference.
I'm
ready to debunk that.
But I think, like, it might not have made a difference in record sales, but it made them a mainstream act.
Yeah, the only thing that made them a mainstream act was the strength of their indie releases. And, you know, obviously they used that major label muscle to make that happen. But, you know, that was like, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just, you know, also like can't stand them and you know.
You're disparaging one of our greatest exports.
I don't think that Power Trip should go to like, oh, this full length will now be on, you know, Locking Out. Like, I mean, I think they need to stay with a big gun type label, but I don't know. I don't know that metal fans are as finicky as hardcore fans, and as long as they can get it. So as long as they're on a Southern Lord or a Relapse or something else, you know, big, that they'll have the distribution that they can be wherever they need to be.
Yeah.
Versus if they go to a Sony type situation, you know, Elektra or whatever heavy metal band signed to, that you'd lose your underground audience. Or you may not. I mean, I don't know. But I think that self-releasing ultimately would just be such... I think when you're at that kind of level, it becomes more of a pain in the ass than freedom.
Yeah.
And I think you would have... It would be hard to still get on big tours and do everything if you're also having to, like... Without having, like... You're just going to need to get, like, a distribution deal through a major label anyway. You might as well just be on that label and not have to... do all the other stuff.
Or you just get that management deal, right? You get Q Prime to take care of you. And that's like, they make their artists into big stars. Like they, you know, look what they did with that Volbeat band and obviously Metallica. Yeah. And like, you know, like they, you know, like a management company could also kind of be the move. And then, you know, they're helping you out too. But it's just, once again, like there's no right or wrong move because... there's no sure-fired way that your band's going to be successful. Like, I think other than, you know, keep writing songs that people like and hopefully your audience finds you. But, you know, I've been in so many weird situations with people in music telling me that like, oh, you're going to be huge. And it's like, there's no way that's going to happen. Right. But then you look at some artists that like Alex on Fire, like who would ever thought that would have happened?
Yeah, I get you.
The thing is, a band like Power Trip is still a crossover band. So there's only so huge that'll ever get. I mean, obviously there's like Metallica, but then the trickle down from the second biggest heavy metal band below Metallica is far.
Oh, Slipknot. Tool.
Yeah, I get. But I mean, Slayer. Tools is definitely more commercial. I mean, I can't name a second Tool song.
I cannot. But... yeah. Sober, that's it, right?
I'm being like, oh, Tool, that one song from 1991 that I know. Yeah. And like, I also don't know what Slipknot sound like.
Something about that song that's like super sick, where it's like, and I close my eyes, I feel it all slipping away.
You don't know what the Rev Slipknot sounds like, Dave?
Oh yeah, the Rev, the real Slipknot.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I celebrate both the Inside Outs, but you know, I don't know that I celebrate both Slipknots.
I Orthodox Slipknot only.
Yeah,
but I do think the other Slipknot has some jams.
And why?
But I mean, I'm someone who. I'm not like a metalhead, but like my finger's on that pulse, you know, next to the gauntlet. And I don't know that I've ever heard the other Slipknot. So it's like, it's not the, like, in your face the way Metallica is to say, like, you know, I mean, Slipknot are living very comfortably. But
yeah, like, dude, I think they had a number one record. Like, that thing was like number one on the Billboard charts. Their last record.
Yeah.
Slipknot, though, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't like them musically from whatever I've heard, but I will say Slipknot was just like the next Marilyn Manson or something. It was just like, you know, it occupied that void for angry, you know, teenagers or something.
Like, they're on an Australian tour right now, and it's all stadiums, all huge stadiums.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've technically heard them because I listened to them once to see what they sounded like when I first got Spotify.
Yeah.
And then it was like a big it was like all of my... It was really screwing my algorithm. Like, no, I don't need this again. I was just really curious what it sounded like once, you know, like, this does not need to go on. Like,
he goes, Dave, you have bad taste. Here, yeah, check out this stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I see you like Slipknot. How about you like this? Do you like Stone Sour? No, I don't.
Yeah.
Well, they said that their new record, which has just come out, they describe as it's a masterpiece.
All right, cool. I guess I'll throw that on the playlist for tomorrow.
It's a masterpiece.
So, to digress from Slipknot, if we may, mm-hmm. I have a follow-up hot take / question, which is, it was Damien's previous theory that in the present day, another Fugazi cannot exist, given the current... way that music operates as an industry, that it's too difficult to have that infrastructure the way Fugazi did these days without some kind of moneyed interest.
I just don't think Slipknot that similar to Fugazi.
I don't mean Slipknot. I'm talking with
regard. So wait, in your bizarre fantasy, is this band going to put their music on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music, all the major streaming services, are they just limited to Bandcamp?
Well, that's my argument, that there's no way to people consume your music now without you being involved with a corporation, like even Fugazi.
Well, I mean, but do you, like, are you including Bandcamp in that corporation?
I'm just saying,
who owns
like
Bandcamp?
Well, because like to get access, like
that dude, Ethan somebody, Ethan Diamond or something. I mean, he's a person that you meet, you know, it's like, I don't know how their company is structured, if it has, you know, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, he's just like, it's just a guy.
My question is this though. So based on taking that logic, is it now that we have to even go one step further and go, not only perhaps could there not be another Fugazi in that capacity, but using the Power Trip, like what do Power Trip do? Do they make, say, the quote unquote like Tragedy move, do it all on their own and all that? And I realize they're a larger scale than Tragedy, so this is already kind of a moot point. But say they then did a Tragedy move right now. Is it even possible to do the Tragedy thing in 2019 anymore? As a large-scale indie hardcore punk band or a crossover band, whatever.
I mean, Tragedy is a good example because, for the most part, they self-released all their records. I mean, they were, you know, through Ebullition or whatever, who did the work, so as far as putting them together and mailing them out and stuff.
Yeah.
But Tragedy, you know, kind of do it. But I mean, that's the thing. Is do you want to be as big as Tragedy? I mean, Tragedy are, you know, they're going to tour and they're going to do well and they're going to, you know, get paid. But they're not like, then they all go back to work, you know?
Yeah, they all have jobs. They sell through like 4,000 copies of that record themselves. You know, like
I mean, they're doing great, but they're not doing like by a house great.
No, Fugazi, and that's the thing is also I think, you know, like look at the media landscape now too, right? Like an artist like Ghostmane, he's got 10 million plays for some of his songs, more, right? Probably more, way more, probably in some cases. But at the same time, you know, he's not a household name for music fans in the same way that Fugazi was selling, you know, I think comparable amounts of CDs back then, just because it's such a fractured media landscape now.
And that's the thing. I mean, maybe it made more sense when we were like children, but like the idea of like making it, you know, like you know, when you were in high school, the bands that were big bands, like they, you know, like your regular norms also knew what those things were because they're household names. Mm-hmm. And like, as much as there are certain things that are like gigantic in the indie world, you go talk to like your coworker, unless they're Dave Martin's coworkers, like you go talk to your coworker, they're going to be like, I don't know what any of that is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this thing has 90,000 plays, monthly plays on Spotify. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean a thing to them.
No, because there's also stuff that has like 100 million plays on Spotify that means nothing to anyone outside of the fans who are just like crazy for it. Like, you know, we did that song with Denzel Curry last year, and it came out, and I was at that Dinosaur Jr. summer camp, and I was like to Jay, I'm like, oh, we had this song come out with Denzel Curry. He's like, who the hell is that? And then I'm like, watch this. And
why'd you say it with such enthusiasm?
Yeah, and Jay's kid walks by, and I'm like, yo, guess what? We just did a song with Denzel Curry. And he's like, what? Oh, my God. Oh, that's crazy. And like all of a sudden it was like, oh, yeah, because it's just like it's now things are huge, but to just small sectors that are almost like completely independent from each other.
I too have no idea who that is, so I feel good about that.
Denzel Curry's like a huge star at this point.
Yeah, no idea. I just like literally when you mention that, I'm like, I don't know who this is.
But yeah, no, it's definitely like someone else. And it's also like it's funny because like you're someone who likes rap and listens to rap music, right? Like, so it's
yeah,
it just shows how big this landscape is. You know, like there's artists that are huge, massive stars and just don't have that impact on someone that's even like paying attention to that world.
Yeah, I that's a valid point for sure. I do find that myself. Like, I couldn't tell you, this is a random example, it's not really rap or whatever, I suppose, but like, I have no idea what like Post Malone sounds like at all. I couldn't tell you. I know that he's like an eyesore to look at, but I have no idea.
So when you went to the Post Malone Justin Bieber tour, did you just get there late?
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, it all comes back to Power Trip, because you know who Post Malone reps all the time.
Yeah, I guess Power Trip.
Power Trip, buddy.
There's a song, Jackie Chan, or Kick It Jackie Chan, maybe it's called. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you search Post Malone Jackie Chan, you'll find the song.
Yeah.
I know they play it all the time at my gym. It's very catchy. I've put it on at home. It's a fine song.
It's got one of the dumbest lines ever though, when it's like, I just bought sushi from Japan. Like, it's not going to taste good by the time it gets to you.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it will.
There's no
way. My point though is that this is a relatively like household name, and I have no idea, you know, at all really what it's like.
You know, I mean, in 2019, I heard the song Umbrella for the first time.
True, you did mention that. That's right.
Yeah, so it's like, like that's just how the world works sometimes. You just don't know what things sound like. I mean, to go back to Dive, you know, that's a thing that like I don't know that a single person at my job's ever heard of them. But like, you know, they tour. There's a lot of people that go. They have tons of monthly listeners. But it's like, you know, because I try to get someone to go with me to that show, and then he's like, oh, I have plans, and he's like, hit me up later. He's like, hey, that band's really good. I'm like, yeah, you know. I didn't try to make you go see him something stupid, you know. Like, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like, that's, I mean, as much as like they might be gigantic in New York or in L.A. and, you know, a few other places, like your cousin doesn't know who they are. you know, that's the thing with like the bubble of being big and Power Trip. I mean, I think you're more likely that something that's more like mellow and easy listening, I think, will be bigger than, you know, than Crossbreaker.
Oh yeah,
I
agree, definitely.
But I think metal is huge, though. You know what I mean? So it's like I feel like their wider appeal is because that genre is so popular in a certain regard, right? Like it's not like
it's so popular, but it's also a fan base that spends money.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it's popular, but it's nowhere. Like, look at Alexis on Fire versus Dallas Green. Like, City and Color is fucking ginormous. You know, in a way that Alexis on Fire won't be, because yeah, like soft music can mainstream.
Well, I mean, but the thing with with metal, they're going to buy tons of your merch. They're going to buy physical copies. It's not a thing based in like DIY. So yeah. You're never going to have your. Well, I mean, it is if you really want to get into that whole conversation. But like, in 2019, it's not. So there's no one's going to like scoff at paying $25 to get in. No one's going to think twice about buying a $30 t-shirt. You know, no one's just sitting there trying to get everything for free the way I think so much of like punk music and indie music is.
Yeah. In grades like us. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I like it.
We also don't need like 8 color screen t-shirts though, too, right, Dave? So that's the other trick.
I mean, one maybe
color,
I will.
Black and white. There you go.
Not anymore. Post-COVID world.
I know, I'm joking.
No, but I mean, I don't know. It's the whole, like, what is big? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you couldn't do a Fugazi unless you were happy with being, I mean, as big as you couldn't take over the world, but also your random cousin didn't know who Fugazi were when they were a band, probably.
Well, Fugazi would show up on the Billboard charts, right? And like they would be like out charting like Rolling Stones record some months and stuff, right? Like, if you were dialed into music, you would have heard of them. Whereas like here's Denzel Curry, one of his songs is 125 million plays, and Chris, you know, a rap fan, hadn't heard of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think, you know, there's just so much more these days. I don't know if you can really compare it in those ways. Because really, I think if lots of people know who Denzel Curry is, you know, and he's like, he can fill rooms all over the place and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know. I just don't think you can't make the comparison because times have just, you know, things have evolved or devolved. And so it's just not, you can't really, it's hard. I don't know.
Things have changed. It's funny because, like, you couldn't, let's say someone's trying to do Turn It a Punk 20 years from now, you know? Like, if I say Fugazi to any single person that comes on the show, that they not only know who I'm talking about, they have a relationship to it, right?
Yeah.
Like immediately. And I don't think that happens in the same way now, right? Like if I said the Menzingers to someone, you know, and then I said Waves to someone else, and I said Trash Talk to someone else, and I said Haram to someone else, like every single person, like, you know, like those people might not know at all that the other bands exist.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, everyone's dialed their tastes into, you know, pretty specific niches, and that's what we have now.
Yeah, so I don't think there could be a groundswell. Like, in the same way there can't be another Nirvana, there can't be another Fugazi, right? Because it takes, like, everyone kind of coming together to make it happen, right? Like, it takes everyone across the spectrum of indie rock and punk rock to be like, this band's great, to make them millionaires.
Yeah, but there could, I mean, you don't think that there could be some sort of weird, like almost Old Town Road-esque, you know, thing where some band just has a song that people decide they love, and all of a sudden, like, this band is now famous?
Absolutely. Yeah. But Old Town Road didn't happen on, you know, self-produced t-shirt sales and self-produced record sales and like $5 shows. Like, it happened because it went viral on these platforms that we all need to use multinational corporations to have access to and that are run by multinational corporations. Like, you just...
Well, yeah, but you know, I mean, is it any different than, like, you were listening to a corporate radio station when you heard these bands?
You didn't hear Fugazi.
Not Fugazi. But, you know, like a Nirvana or something. You know, and the only reason Fugazi weren't on these stations is because they didn't want to be.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't opt out now. Like, you have to, you know, like, Chance the Rapper is someone who everyone says is an independent artist, right? And he has definitely had a lot of success without any help of a label. But at the same time, like, you know, he's sponsored by a lot of companies. You know, like, it's just the models change so much. Like, the idea of, like, what it was to be a DIY band, like, that can't work now.
I don't know. I mean, I still think that, you know, if all the band members were on the same page of, like, this is how we're going to release our music, these are our lists of, like, do's and don'ts, and, you know, they could become, you know, extremely popular.
Yeah, extremely popular, you know? But not Fugazi.
Well,
like, that's the thing, Dave. Like I don't think there could be a band that's like, you know, that I sit down with MVP and he's got some story about being thrown out of their show for moshing. And I sit down with Jamie Haper and he's talking about how they inspired him because he didn't like their band at all, you know? And like, but then I'm also talking to like Walter Schreifels and he's talking about how it changed his life when he heard it, you know? Like, it's just like, it impacts everyone. I could bring that band up to anyone. Jack Black, I brought up to him and he knew about it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's such a loaded question. I mean, you're talking about people from that band, you know, at the genesis of what is hardcore and all that sort of stuff. So
that's what I'm saying. There can't be another one.
Well, I guess you're right. There it is.
Well, maybe.
But what you've made me do, Damien, is now look at billboard.com. Like, what is on Billboard charts right now? And if you look at the Billboard 100 artists, there's still things like the fucking Beatles on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like there's things like, oh, Maroon 5 have been on there for 277 weeks.
Yeah.
Queen. Like, the list is so stupid.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about Billboard charts. Because, like, you know, like I'm talking about, like, you know, like the metrics that I think are reflective about how popular an artist is, which pretty, you know, not saying that Spotify is the only way people consume music now at all, but like it certainly is sort of a mainstream way of people consume music. So if you look at those numbers, I think it's reflective of how big an artist is normally.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, I think that most your people use it, you know, like it's one of the, I don't think it's like an underground thing.
No,
you know, I feel like
Bohemian Rhapsody is the most played song ever on it, apparently, now.
Yeah.
It's been played like a billion times, and they made like $1 million or $10 million.
We'll have to see how it's doing on Pono or whatever Neil Young's streaming service
was. Is that still going?
I don't think so. But he gave up.
There is a new high-res streaming service called Cobuzz that I don't think Neil Young is involved at all. It is high-res streaming, CD quality streaming.
Did you read his book?
Or better. No.
His book's incredible. It's like all about that streaming service and all about, like, it's just about products he's launching. Like, I'm like, when is he going to start talking about hanging out with Charles Manson?
He just did a new there's just a documentary on the new record that my friend saw that he said was great, but he's also like a complete Neil Young like freak, so I don't know that it's like a biased answer or an unbiased answer, really. It's 100% a very biased answer.
Did you see he endorsed the Green Party in Canada and people were chirping at, like, the person that who runs the Green Party in Canada retweeted his endorsement? And it was all these people being like, he's not even fucking Canadian. He left here when he was 19 years old, never came back. Like, oh, what the fuck does he know?
Where does he live now? Does he not live in Canada still?
No, he lives in California.
He doesn't have his ranch with the old man still?
He might have some property here, but I think people in here, people obviously love him here, but there's also a contingent of people that are like, he left here and never came back.
Yeah, they just felt helpless, helpless, helpless after that, I'm sure.
Well, I tell you, you leave Australia as an Australian person, you leave Canada as a Canadian person, and make it, we never forgive.
Yeah.
That's why they love Drake so much here.
Yeah, he's still there, right?
He still reps it, you know, super hard. You know. But wow. You leave, they get mad.
Well, we just went on a real good tangent about.
Yeah, we got really far with all this.
With the Hornets.
What I'm saying is that song's great and everyone should listen to it.
Yeah, I also really like it. They're about to do a U.S. tour with High on Fire. So they'll be playing probably near you.
Yeah, I think so.
Listener.
I love that band. Like High on Fire is great, but I mean like Power Trip. Like what a collection of awesome people to hang out with.
Yeah, I'll go see them on this tour for sure.
Yeah, and I think no matter what they do, they're going to keep writing those good songs. And so, you know, I'm excited to see what happens for them. You know, like I think they're a band that, you know, does a style of music where they are capable of crossing over to another world. Like it could. There's like that whole other world of metal things, like opening for High on Fire, and like, you know, like that's like a different side of the music industry from like, you know, what the Tragedies of the World are doing.
I'm really curious also, because in my head, they should be a bigger band than High on Fire, but I haven't seen High on Fire in a long time. So
High on Fire is huge.
Are they really? That's wild. Like, they're a great band. I'm with David up here. I just would have thought Power Trip would have been more popular in 2019, but I guess I'm wrong.
And I think Matt Pike's almost transitioned to like the Shane McGowan of metal.
Gotcha.
And people just like, he's just such a beloved kind of like, because of obviously Sleep, but just, you know, just like such a beloved character within that world that, I think they're still pretty huge.
Hold on, I want to see something. They both, High on Fire has 112,684 monthly listeners. Power Trip, 112,789 monthly listeners.
But I think the one thing that we should have adjusted for with Spotify and stuff is old bands don't register as much as new bands. And I would say that High on Fire probably has a quotient of hash smoking, CD listening fans.
Yeah. Big Apple Music base.
Yeah, Big Apple Music base. People that are like, you know, I already converted from vinyl to CD, and CD is the superior sound quality format, so I'm going to keep going. And they're like the people that come up to your merch table like, do you have your CD? Do you have this on CD? Do you guys bring CDs? Oh, you guys got to keep making CDs, man.
They got stuck at the border. Sorry.
Yeah. Are they the people that thank you for making CDs when you do have CDs? Like, oh, thank you for still doing CDs.
Well, yeah, when I was selling merch for Nightbirds and people were buying CDs, I was like, oh, what a country. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yep. There are CD buyers out there. CD characters.
All right. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, with Power Trip, I also like the second LP more than I like the first LP. Like, I like the first LP more than I like their earlier material. Like, I keep liking their material more.
Yeah, I would say the same. They keep getting better.
Yeah, so I'm like
Fugazi,
new record. Yeah, exactly.
Just like Fugazi.
Yeah, their new material. It's pretty hard to find because they're not on any streaming services. But
first album only. Fuck Fugazi. Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time I listened to Fugazi. Like,
I think we should say for the listeners, that's a quote Damien saying.
Yeah, that's a quote. Yeah, that's the George Pettit. That's on the George Pettit Part 2 podcast where he fucks up telling that story. One of my favorite stories of all time. And he fucks up the telling of it. But anyway, sorry. I'm smoking weed and digressing over here.
Well, I mean, that's just what we come here for.
Exactly.
For weed and digression.
Come for the punk conversation, stay for the digressions and the exhales.
Yeah. I mean, but I'll be at the the New Jersey Power Trip High and Fire show because I'll be visiting my family. So I'll see Power Trip outside of the confines of Texas.
We'll tell them we all say hello, and we're all rooting for them and are excited to find out what their next business decision is.
Yeah.
That's all I had to add. should we call it a night? This has been a long show.
Sure.
Well, yeah, sure. I don't think we even talked about anything specifically at all.
No, we didn't.
So we'll have to do another one, and we should also crack one with that mailbag next time too.
We'll need more prep for that though.
Okay. Well, let's try and do one of these again sometime soon. Thank you all for coming and hanging out tonight.
Oh, of course, anytime.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll definitely do a year-end show and maybe another show again soon. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And remember, how do they get in touch with us, Chris? What's the best way to send an email?
turnedoutapunkfootnotes@gmail.com.
And you know what we like to talk about, generally just about anything. So just write us about anything, and we'll discuss it. We didn't even get to talk about the Kill by Death Canadian election connection.
You know? Okay.
Did you hear about this, guys?
No.
Warren Kinsella from the band The Hot Nasties, an ugly pop recording artist, became a hot-button issue in the final days of the election when it was revealed that his firm had been hired to dig up dirt about the extreme right-wing party in Canada for the Conservative Party of Canada, which is like the slightly less extreme right-wing party, but right-wing party in Canada. So there you go. Ugly Pop Records entered the election news cycle towards the end of the election in Canada. And it became a big, big deal. They actually brought up Warren Kinsella's name in a press conference, and they were like, you know, did you employ this man? And the Scheer, who was running for the Conservative leadership as prime minister position, or he was the Conservative leader, was like, I do not comment on vendors, whether or not we are working with certain vendors. So there you go. Kill by Death connection. It all comes back to punk, always.
Well, I'm sure the fine folks at Red Rum Records would be very excited that all this stuff is coming back around.
I don't think they're actually on a Kill by Death proper. They might be on a Bloodstains Across Canada, and they might also be on... Well, I know they're definitely on a Smash the State comp, but if you have not heard it, that song Secret of Immortality, which was reissued by Ugly Pop Records as a 7-inch, is one of the best Canadian songs ever. Not even just punk, Canadian songs ever.
Well, that's a tall one.
I'm putting Bryan Adams on that list. I'm putting Avril Lavigne on that list, you know? And I'm saying this is better. Nickelback's on the fucking list, and this is better. This is better. Way better. And then also we had, unfortunately, Andrew Cash did not win, who was running in my riding. But he was in the band L'Estranger, which have a, you know, bunch of, truthfully speaking, new wave records. But there's a song called Barricades that's pretty sick on the first 12-inch. And his politics are way cooler. So another kind of Kill by Death connection, the Canadian election.
Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah. Well, now you guys got something to share with people in your lives, you know, like a little fun fact.
Because we're always talking about politics elsewhere.
Canadian politics, right?
Avoid talking about our own.
You guys, it's the exact same thing in America as it is in Canada, right? You guys talk about Trudeau and just all the shit Trudeau's doing and it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, I mean.
You're just obsessed with us.
I mean, I just like to – the thing is with Trudeau that I just like to – maybe it's just a big Canadian thing that you just have a period of time when you just get right into taking boats places,
Jonah.
Fucked up alumni Jonah. Yeah. just having like a big kayaking phase or whatever.
I think it would be amazing if in a post-Drake world, everyone in America just got obsessed with Canadian politics. Like it became.
I mean, I think there was a Laughter Tonight on it, as far as like one of those deep dives on Canadian politics.
There's like a lot of Canada references on this season of Big Mouth.
I listened to this. I saw a thing on it, so I'm wondering if it was Last Week Tonight or if, whether it was on like a different like political podcast where they kind of went in. But I did see a thing on the Canadian election.
It's you know, it was exciting for a moment there.
You know? Yeah.
And then now it's just back to like whatever.
So, more of the same.
Yeah, no more kill by death mentions in the news cycle.
Speaking of which, you were signing off, Damien.
Yeah, well, no, but I just want to go back to talking about. I thought this was going to spur on a bunch of new conversation. We could talk about President Punk in America, but no. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.